minutes of the best scenes from a movie called What Dreams May Come. And it's almost prophetic. It was done in 1998, and it starred Robin Williams. I'll be talking a little bit more about that in a little while. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you open our eyes this week, and as we begin to look at heaven, hell, and the afterlife, and that you would give us insight where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin with one scripture from Job chapter 14, verse 14, where it says, "If a man dies, shall he live again? If a man dies, shall he live again?" I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was a show on TV, and it was about the mysteries of the world, and they talked about things like UFOs and Bigfoot, Stonehenge and Atlantis and things like that. But the number one mystery of the world was life after death. And since the very beginning, humanity has been asking the same question that Job asked here, Job 14:14, when he says, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" It's the question of human existence and what happens when people die. Is there a heaven? Is there hell? What's it like? And those kinds of things. And I'm going to begin a study with the central purpose of looking at and examining this question that Job raises, and the question of the afterlife, and the question of all humanity, past and present. It's a question that was asked in the hearts of people thousands of years ago, just like I have been in the ministry for 40 years, and I guarantee you I've done, I don't know how many funerals I've done, but over the years, those funerals, the same kinds of questions come up in the hearts of people. Sometimes they're even asked to me, but a lot of times they sit there and they think these things. And as their funerals take place here in Decatur, people ask questions. They are questions that people ask. Doesn't matter who they are. They can be Hindus, they can be Jews, they can be Muslims, they can be Christians, they can be atheists, agnostics, people of all faiths. And it still comes down to, if a man lives, and if he dies, shall he live again? You know, you can look around a room at a funeral, and I've done them in all different settings. I've done them when people die at a ripe old age, and it's been a full life. I've done funerals for children that are less than 10 years old. I've done funerals for children of parents and their adult children. And there's something backwards about that when children die before their parents. And so we're going to look at this stuff. If a man dies, shall he live again? And if you think about all this stuff, I did a little bit of research. That it shapes every civilization in history. The Australians and the Aborigines down there, they think of heaven as a distant island over the horizon. The Finnish people also have an island across the sea. When I watched the Lord of the Rings, when Frodo Baggins is leaving with the elves, they're going across the sea. And I believe that out of that particular movie, the J.R. Tolkien's work, that was using that as what happens when they go away. Mexicans, Peruvians, Polynesians, they're sent to the sun or moon after death. Native Americans around the country that have been in this northern hemisphere here, Man's spirit would hunt the spirits of the buffalo out there with a great spirit. The Babylonian's Gilgamesh epic refers to a resting place with a tree of eternal life. And you notice in that video from What Dreams May Come, there's a sense in which that scene of heaven there, there's that big tree. Is it the tree of life? The Romans, they believed that the righteous would picnic in the Elysian fields and they would dine on fruit and wine while their horses grazed. In fact, I've got a couple of clips because you know, those of you who know me, movies show us a great deal without telling us what it's all about. And I've got a couple of clips out of Gladiator, which is about the Romans.
Atlas! 3 weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops.
Imagine where you will be.
And it will be so.
Hold the line! Stay with me! If you find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face, do not be troubled! Well, you are in Elysium.
Depicted us to us the picture of how the Romans looked at the afterlife in terms of that. I just saw something on TV on the History Channel on the Egyptian tombs. And the Egyptians would embalm bodies and they had maps placed beside them as guides to the future world. They would be entombed with chariots and the implements and everything that they would need to take there into their afterlife and sustain them. We've had all kinds of things. Now, I'm a big movie buff, but one of the things that I know is that probably most of you at least have some understanding of the afterlife from a Christian perspective. But I want you to think about our society out there. I would say that at least half our society does not have any kind of grasp on the Christian faith, and they are moved to think about things strictly from what is given to them by society. And as I said, Hollywood will show you things like that. What Dreams May Come, I'm going to bring that one back up in a few minutes. But they show us things. Some of it has Christian background and some of it doesn't. But some of it has perverted understandings of things. And I have one. Now, you may have not seen this movie because I know you're such good Christian people. But I'm a connoisseur of everything. And I guarantee you, those that are 35 and under probably seen this, and a lot of them have never been to church in their life. And this is the end of the, this is the end. This is Hollywood screwballs right now. Seth Grogan and all those guys that run together, they're kind of like a new young rat pack. And this is the end of the movie, This Is the End.
When I die and the name to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the experience.
Welcome to heaven.
Yay! 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 Oh my! What?
This is awesome!
Are you an angel?
Yes, sir.
That's so cool, man! So cool. Congratulations, dude!
Fellas.
Yeah.
Oh!
You got one!
What?
That's so cool!
Do I have one?
I can't see it. Wait.
Oh, let's touch him.
Dude, this is
wow.
So, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Come this way.
Ooh. So you know that when you die.
tell me.
That's awesome!
Oh!
Wow! That's insane, man!
No. That's heaven. Anything you can think of is yours.
I've always wanted to ride one of these things.
Go ahead, Jay. Make a wish. Anything you can think of.
Anything?
Everybody, yeah. Rock your body.
What?
Yeah. Rock your body.
Again, brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah.
Am I original?
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
Am I sexual?
I'm glad the Backstreet Boys made it. Now, I want to recognize Dave Lillipop, who's been helping me get this stuff together, because that's the PG version. I guarantee you, the other version, the real version, if you go out and rent this movie, don't expect it to be PG. But that's modern Hollywood. They're giving you their understanding of the afterlife and things like that. And people who have never been to church, never been anything around it, they begin to absorb this. Now, for me, it was interesting that I watched the movie as an educational thing, because it's their idea of the end of the times, and it's wild. But, then people said, well, that must be the way it is, because Hollywood says it is. Anyway, that's just another one, and that's the way the world looks at things, and that's the world out there that is not connected within the Christian faith to speak of, and that's just one of the instances of that. If you go into the historical anthropological evidence, confirms it. There's a unified testimony, though, of the human heart of a belief in the afterlife. If a man dies, will he live again? Now, the myth that we all live under is that it's all about everybody else. But you might want to put your name in there. If I die, will I live again? See, the number one myth that we all have is that I'm not going to die until something starts working on you to make sure that it comes out. But the human race believes this world is not all there is. Now, I've got two cuts here. From you saw the best scenes of What Dreams May Come, in which Robin Williams plays a man who is killed in an auto accident, and then his wife commits suicide. I don't know if it's prophetic or not, but it's interesting that this is how I'm beginning this, since he committed suicide in August. Anyway, he shows up in heaven, and Cuba Gooding is his tour guide, I guess you might say. So this is when he gets to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're aware you exist, then you do. That's why you're still here.
No windows. What aren't you ready to see, I wonder?
Drink up. Just think it's coffee and it will be.
Okay. It's coffee.
Eat. Acrylic.
Why is it so hard? Look. Your brain is meat. It rots and disappears. Did you really think that's all there was to you? Like you're in your house right now. You're in your house. It doesn't mean you are your house. House falls down, you get out and walk away.
But it looks like I rebuilt, huh?
You see a body because you like seeing one. We're seeing what we choose to see.
Let me show you something.
Where's all the paint?
You don't need it anymore. This is your world now. Thought is real. Physical is the illusion. Ironic, huh?
Where's God in all this?
He's up there. Somewhere. Shouting down that he loves us. Wondering why we can't hear him. You think? Drink your coffee.
Needs milk.
Don't push your luck.
That's when he was in heaven. And later on, he goes looking for his wife who has committed suicide. And he ends up in hell. I'm going to show that one. Anyway, in that movie, you've got both heaven and hell, and it paints a picture, and it creates a lot of issues and questions that people would think about as you see that. And of course, I think it's very interesting that Robin Williams is in it, because that's one of the questions that we're going to think about. So in the next number of weeks, we're going to be dealing with this whole topic. And we're going to look at life after death. And we speculate a lot on this stuff, and society paints a picture for us in all kinds of different ways so that everybody has all kinds of questions that come up. Now, I gave you a sheet tonight. If you didn't pick one up, you should have. These are the questions that I asked for you to give to me in the last couple of weeks in church for these things. Now, you can look at these questions. Some of them I got it more than one time, so I collated it and put it together, and so that these are the different questions that we came up with in terms of how this stuff works. And so this list is one of the things we're going to look at, and I'm going to cover as many of these questions as I can as we go through it. I probably won't answer all of them, but we're going to work on them. Some of these questions are interesting, and there's a flippant part of me that always says, the second question there is, will we have memories of our past and recognize families? Yes, we will. I can answer that question for you. We will look at this stuff biblically. Down in the middle of the page, it says, do we get to always be with our loved ones? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to always be with my loved ones. So we will at least address the issue. Down to about near the bottom of this page, this is where my, you know, I take a right turn with my mind every so often. Many people do not go to church. Where do they go when they die? Well, a lot of them, I hate to say, end up in church, right in front of the sanctuary in a big box. Other than that, I don't know. We'll ask that question. Can you explain time in heaven? That's on the backside of this thing, about a third of the way down. And I'm not going to tell you who gave me this question, but she knows who she is. God is above time, and yet Scripture mentions that those in heaven experience time. Well, you know why God created time, don't you? Doesn't happen at once. That's right. And so we're going to look at that. Down about near the bottom of it is this. Will we be able to play or watch sports in heaven? Now, you heard that golf joke about this? Where the guy says he wants to know whether you get to play golf in heaven or not. And this guy dies and he comes back to him as his friend does and comes back to him as a ghost and he says, Bob, I want you to know there is golf in heaven. That's the good news. The bad news is you tee off tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Anyway, these are just some of the things that we'll be looking at in terms of this. If I have missed your question, you can get them to me. But this is a good smattering of where this group and the church is in terms of questions that we have. Now, you know what the two most asked questions in heaven and hell are, don't you? Where's so-and-so and what are you doing here? Both in heaven and in hell, those questions are asked first. Where's so-and-so and what are you doing here? You see, one of the things about all this is we don't think of it as personal, but we should. Most all of us probably have gone to church most of our adult lives. And occasionally I have given a sermon on heaven or something like that. But most of the time it's very ethereal in nature and it's not very specific in terms of things. You may have had a Sunday school class on it. But it's not really emphasized in the Western church in the modern era. One of the things about the Middle Ages and those times, life was a lot harder back then, and people looked forward to getting out of this life. But we live in a society that is not as rough and painful as it is. Now, if you go over to places in the Middle East, you might be one that says, I can't wait to get out of here, and I'm looking forward to going to heaven. But one of the things that has happened to us as a society is we've got it good, so to speak, on this earth. And so afterlife is more of an afterthought, and the afterlife is also one of those things that, well, we don't need to desire it as much because, well, it's pretty good down here. Now, when you start getting to be my age and things like that, you start seeing the edge in front of you, and then you start asking some questions, and that may be the reason I'm doing this study now, is because I can see over the edge. But that one of the reasons is our society has got it good, so we don't think about it. We're told how to get there, but nothing about what it would be like or what we'll be doing in the afterlife. Hell is pictured as we saw it here. Heaven is pictured as something good. We don't know a lot about it except for that. And so, you know, and I don't preach about it much. we kind of think that the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it. And it kind of reminds me, if you read the Gospels, which are the story of Jesus, what we know about Jesus is this, usually. We know he was born, and we have that period of time in the Christmas time of the year. And then we know that he died on the cross to take away the sins of the world, and take away your sin and my sin. And we know about Holy Week leading up to that and the Last Supper and all that. But the places between the time when he was, where it says he was 12 years old, and then he shows up again at 30. I heard that song one time and said, what did he do with those years between 12 and 30? He disappeared. And we don't know anything about him. But then you have he's 30 to 33. He goes and he heals people and he does things, but we don't have any kind of real chronological understanding of that because we just don't look at it very closely. Well, that's the same way with this topic, is we just don't look at it very closely. And so we think about it in, well, a little bit of mishmash stuff as well. But we're going to be looking at it a little bit more closely. If Robin dies, will he live again? If I die, will I live again? In Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses is attributed to write this psalm. And it is a psalm that I use a lot of times at funerals. It starts with, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And he goes through this. And in the middle of this psalm, he brings up a point after he goes through the way things are and his understanding of the world. At verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. So part of what we're doing here is, I'm hoping that this will teach us in its own way to number our days on this earth. Because I think as we begin to develop a sound understanding of what heaven is actually going to be like in the afterlife and even hell, it will change the way you live in this life, because we live in a society that doesn't think about it much except when somebody's near death. We don't think about it because we got it so good. But I also want this study to give us a sense of our own mortality. Teach us to number our days and so gain wisdom of heart. How can we set our hearts on heaven or expect our children to be excited about heaven when we talk so little about it because, well, we've got it so good here and so our understanding is vague and a lot of times very lifeless. And it's not a joy or it's an anticipation out there. We tend to see heaven as a never-ending church service. How? God. That's my idea of hell in some ways. Actually, my idea of hell is a perpetual presbytery meeting. That's where all the church leaders gather to talk about the church. That's my idea of hell. But you kind of get the impression that that's what we see in terms of heaven, the never-ending church, this eternal song, sing-along in the sky, you might say, and you sing one old boring hymn after another, and oh, help me. You know, well, it does. It talks about that in the throne room, and we will look at that in the book of Revelation, about how the seraphs and all that would sing praises to God. Every time they turned around, they were singing praises to God. And it sounds like it's a lot of church stuff going on up there. But I don't think of it like that. I think they're praising God because I think that every so often, God just does something new and different. And they go, wow, I cannot believe what he has done. And that's what the praise and the glory that is given. It has to do with something new and different all the time happening. And it just makes people excited. And the heavens are excited about what's going on. Rather than a boring church service in heaven all the time, and that's what we think. We're going to look at this from the biblical perspective. I mean, we've looked a little at Hollywood, and I'll probably show you some more at some point in time in this study. But this is what the world is thinking about right now. So we're going to look at the scriptures. Now, all these questions that you have asked, the Bible does not answer every question that is on that sheet, I don't think. But I think one of the things we will be amazed at is how much is actually revealed in the Bible. So, if I die, will I live again? I've done all kinds of studies over the years. Lots of churches do all kinds of studies. I did a study on the book of Revelation back a few years ago. We talked about the things that are in the book of Revelation and things that are going on. We talked about tribulation. We talked about the rapture. We talked about millennial rule. We talked about Israel. We talked about hell at that point, some of the remnant. I'm going to resurrect some of that stuff as we look at this because it has to do with this whole concept of the afterlife and heaven and hell. I've done things on the sacraments. I've done the Ten Commandments in terms of Bible study. But this is a subject that I have not done, and so we're going to look at heaven. So we're going to get involved in the Bible. And the stuff that it has to say on the subject. The Bible has a great deal to say about all this stuff. And we're going to look at that. That's why I said this is an overview tonight. So we're kind of going through this stuff. The Bible has a great deal to say about heaven. What it will be like. We cannot anticipate or desire what we cannot imagine, so we need to imagine some of this stuff. And that's why I use the stuff from Hollywood, because that opens our eyes and gives us some imagination in terms of this. There's a lot of information we're going to go through about the world out there in the afterlife. So let me give you a short preview. Some of the things we'll be looking at. I'm going to begin with the four heavens, because this is one of those things that, well, nobody thinks about this. It's kind of like, well, when did Jesus go to Galilee? And where, and so you get all wrapped up in, and it's all kind of a confused mess. We're going to say this is first thing. There are basically four heavens that are dealt with and mentioned within the context of the Bible. The first heaven is the physical realm. It's the heavens above us, the ones that are providing us with all the rain right now. And then you can go on up to where the satellites are, and that's the heavens. That's the physical realm. If you look at Psalm 19:1, it talks about the physical heavens. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handwork. That's where we're sitting, by the way, is on the firmament. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. They talk about the heavens. The first heaven is the one we got above us. That's the physical heaven. Okay? The second one that is the spiritual realm that is around us all the time in terms of things. If you turn to 2 Kings, I'm just going to give you some examples of this so that we kind of get a handle on this stuff. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, This is part of the stories of Elisha. And the reason that this was happening is Elisha was telling the king of Israel everything that was going to happen and where, and so that they always won their battles. And in war, that's always important to have information because you rise and fall on information. Anyway, this is what happens. They're chasing Elijah all over the place, trying to catch him because he's giving out insider information. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around about the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What you have here is a picture of the spiritual realm that is around us right now. I don't know how many angels are in this room right now. But I expect there are. We can pray that same prayer, "Lord, give us sight so that we can see. And maybe we'll see." You see, that's what Elisha did. He gave a prophet's reward, which is sight. And that servant of his saw all the armies that were around him on the spiritual realm that were protecting Elijah. And the story goes on. And Elijah says a prayer, and those people are all struck blind in the army of the Syrians. And that's the spiritual realm that is around us. That would be called the second heaven, I guess. Okay? The third heaven is the throne room. Basically, that's where you're talking about heaven as we would think of it today. If you look at Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is one picture where he is goes to sleep at night. Chapter 28, verse 11. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants." And he goes on and on. But he sees this ladder in which there's angels going up and down. That's once again that seeing on the spiritual realm. But they're into that throne room area. I'll give you a couple other scriptures in terms of this third heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, I think it is. Where is Revelation? In my book, it should be at the end. Chapter 4 begins the worship of it's about the worship of the Creator Father. "And after this I looked, and lo, in heaven an open door, and the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up hither, and I will show you what must take place after this.' And at once the Spirit came." And he talks about the throne room. "And seated on the thrones were 24 elders clad in white garments." Who are those guys? Anybody know? And they talk about the four living creatures. This is in the throne room. This is the third heaven, you might say, in terms of things that are going on here. That's in Revelation chapter 4. You can also see this in Isaiah chapter 6, where it says at the beginning of chapter 6 of Isaiah, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." This is the third heaven. You might say, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is the same picture that you get in Revelation chapter 4. It has to do with the throne room and the third heaven, okay? So you got the spiritual realm, which is all around us right now, which is kind of like heaven around us right now. It's kind of like Yoda would say in Star Wars, which is another picture that you get out of Hollywood, which is, it's all around us. It's already moves through everything. Or something like that. Anyway, look up the little green guy and see what I said. Anyway, so that you got that. And then you got the throne room picture, which is in heaven, okay? Those three heavens. But in Revelation chapter 21, I want you to look at another one because this is the fourth heaven where it says in chapter 21, verse 1, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This is the fourth heaven. And it runs on through chapter 22 up to verse 6. I'm going to start with chapter 22. You can read all about this yourself, okay? I covered some of this in our Revelation study that we did several years ago. And you can get it out there. It's still out there. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal. This is in the new heaven. Okay? Flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is the fourth heaven we're talking about here. In terms of this. Now, we need to make it, we're going to make a distinction between the present heaven, which is in the throne room, and the future eternal heaven in terms of this. So we're going to be looking at those things. And these are specifics that we're going to break them down. And we're going to present a future heaven, which is eternal, and the temporary heaven, which is the one that is there right now. Now, a definition of heaven that when we refer to heaven, the place good people go when they die. And there they live forever. Now, there are differing perceptions of that, but that's basically what you get. And that's what you get from What Dreams May Come and in its own perverted way, the same one that Seth Rogen and all those guys produced. That's kind of the definition of heaven. We'll be in some kind of perfected ethereal state. Since God is spirit and we're going to God's home, we're going to have to be like him in some form or fashion. And that's what most people think. I think that that's kind of a way. Grandma's in heaven. And that's what's implied. Now, I've got one more cut that I want to show you from another movie. And that's kind of the definition of heaven as we see it now.
You catch a good game.
Thank you. It's so beautiful here.
And everybody's probably familiar with that one. So So as we look at this, the Bible is pretty specific, and I realize that we come up with all kinds of interpretations based upon what little we don't know, and it's kind of like we pool our ignorance in terms of this. So the first thing we need to do is we have to get our terminology straight. I'm going to give you a definition of heaven. It's where God dwells, where man dwells, God and man together. Living in heaven with God for eternity. That's a pretty good definition of heaven. We think of heaven as being eternal and forever, but you're going to find out in this that in reality, the third heaven is not eternal in nature. So we're going to start right there next week. So there are four basic definitions of heaven, and we're going to be looking at a lot of the third one and some of the fourth one. We will also back and forth through the spiritual realm in terms of this. Everybody understands the physical heavens, right? The spiritual heaven is really the kingdom of heaven around us in the spiritual realm. And that is that there's more going on than we can perceive. It's kind of like I can't hear the same sounds dogs do because they got better ears. And we can't see on the spiritual realm what's going on around us. But I suggest to you that you may have an angel very close to you physically, but in a spiritual realm out there. So we're going to leave it with that. And that's just kind of an overview. And a definition is that's where God and man live together. Okay? And that's going to be our start on this animal as we go into this thing. So if you have other questions that aren't on this list or in some form on this list, then get them to me. And we'll be moving through them as well in the next few weeks. Okay? Is all clear as mud? Okay. Let's pray. Yes. Oh, what? Oh, I got announcements. The Great Banquet Picnic, Saturday at 5:30. Anything else? Huh? This is being let. What? Here. It's here. I just work here. I don't always know what's going on. The Great Banquet Picnic is 5:30 here this Saturday. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I ask that as we begin this, look at the afterlife and heaven and all that that means. I pray that you would guide us through it. I pray that you give me clarity of thought so that I can kind of disseminate that among us as we look at this from a biblical perspective and from the biblical specifics that we can discern. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.